welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Rest on your feet in your homes and in your place. I'm going to read for your hearing from the book of Ruth this morning, beginning at verse 1, chapter 1. I'm going to read 10 verses for your hearing. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And it says, "And now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his sons Malam and Chilam. On Chilam, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Malam and Chilam died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she rose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. And wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, come, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the death and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest in each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely will we return with thee unto thy people." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. I would open with this quote: "No one makes right decisions without being free to make wrong ones." No one makes right decisions without being free to make wrong ones. Today I want to use as a theme, trouble don't last always. Say to yourself, trouble don't last always. Oftentimes, when we are faced with a difficult situation, it requires us to take a step back. The efforts which we make to escape from our destiny only serves to lead us into them. When life turns bitter, we can become better if we quit blaming God, quit trying to isolate ourselves from people who really care for you, and finally, get ready to embrace the new season that God is trying to lead you into. What should we do when bad things happen in our lives? People who don't have faith in God often fall to pieces. Sometimes even Christians can't handle bad times. I know we think we are equipped, but because we are still human and we still are depending on God, sometimes we fall apart. Today, I want to show you how a godly woman reacted to tragedy struck in her life. We are told in the last verse of Judges, and I'm going to read that for you. Judges, the last verse, it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man every woman did that which was right in their own eyes. Does that look like where we are today? No matter if somebody knows beyond a shadow of doubt what is true, every man, every woman did what was right in their own eyes. See, the book of Judges is a story of Israel at one of its lowest points in history. And I got to believe that the pandemic that we're in America, this is probably one of the lowest points in our history. You see, it's a record of division. It's a record of cruelty, a record of apostasy, a record of civil war and national disgrace. Spiritually, our lives resemble elements of this book of Judges. For there is no king in Israel, according to the word, and there will not be a king until Jesus himself comes back again. Like Israel in the past, many of God's people today are living in unbelief and disobedience and are not enjoying the blessings of God. You see, we all have a spiritual breakpoint. You see, we all have our last straw. Today, we experience national and international perplexities, moral decay, pandemics, and difficulties of every kind. Yet we can be assured that God still loves the world and wants to save lost sinners like you and also like me. See, when too much bad stuff happens in our lives as Christians, we say to ourselves, what's the use? What's the heck? And when we pull away from our faith, you don't read your Bible like you used to. You don't pray like you used to. You don't find reasons or excuses why you can't be in church. And we never give any thought to the fact that some of this bad stuff that's happening to us, that's happening in our lives, is because we're not doing what God has called us to do. I'm just being, like the kids say, 100 with you this morning. I don't care how good you look on the outside. It's what's happening or not happening on the inside. When you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, no matter how tough the times may be, you are a part of what is called a beautiful love story. How many know that we are in the book of life? Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and because of our connection with him, we're in this book. It's a real book. So this morning I want to share with you some observations that I see in this text. The first one is trying to run from my problems. How many were with me to this? We try to run from our problems. See, the Lord called me a long time ago when I was in college, but hey, I was trying to run from my problems. People would say, man, I see something in you. I say, no, not now, Doc. I'm having too much fun. God is going to have to wait until I get tired. They said, but I see something that's in you. And you know what? It's going to happen whether you want it to or not. That's the word it is. He's called you into something else. See, there was a famine in this land. And Elimelech chose to take matters in his own hands instead of trusting God. The famine was used by God to discipline the people for turning away from him and enjoying the pleasures of life. Some of us have been trained by our own family members to train up a child. And they kept you in the church. They kept you in Bible study. They kept you in the choir. In the South, they kept you paying dues and BTU and all of that stuff. And you said just like me, boy, when I get old enough, enough is enough. This is how Amalek felt. God specifically promised there would be always plenty in the land of Israel if they were obedient. Deuteronomy 11:13 tells us that God said you will always have plenty. You will never suffer lack if you remain obedient. See, Amalek in our scripture is not told by God to go and sojourn in the land of the Moabites. He did not counsel with God, even though his name means my God is king. In Amalek's mind, he said enough is enough, and he's going to do what he sees is right for himself and his family. Didn't I read the book of Judges, the last verse? They said a man and a woman always without a king, they done what was right in their own eyes. And we have to understand that when God becomes your king, we have to always look to him, the author and the finisher of everything that he said he would do. So this family, they departed from their home, choosing to leave God's land and God's people. You know, sometimes when you leave home, you don't think you're leaving God, but you are, because you made a choice to go in a different direction. They were running away from what I see is their troubles, but more than that, they were running away from the Lord. We need to remember that Moab was a place that despised the Lord and oppressed his people. Why would you leave God's house of praise and go into a place that don't even recognize Lord as Lord King? They left Bethlehem, which is called the house of bread. They left Judah, the place of praise. They went to live in Moab, a place that God once described as a wash pot. In other words, they left the house of bread and praise for a pot where people would wash their dirty feet. And that's what usually happens when people try to run away from their problems. You end up into the muck and the mire. You end up into the ditch. They left what God had for them for a garbage can. And we have to understand, someone once said, sin will always take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. Here, the faithless act kept them longer than they want to stay. As I think about this story, I can remember as a young boy running away from the discipline of my grandmother once or twice. But I learned pretty quickly to stand there and take my punishment like a man. Because when she eventually caught me, which she did, it was always twice as bad. See, it was better to stand and take the discipline than to try to run and hide. How many times has God called us to do something and we would rather run away and hide? God knows what is best for us, and there's no place that we can go from his presence. His plan and his purpose will be fulfilled whether we are willing or unwilling. And we sometimes think that we can move away from our problems, but find we just bring them with us. And no matter where you go in life, you bring yourself with you, so the same problems will continue in a different place. Don't think that you can excuse yourself. You get mad with the church and go to another church. Whatever you were mad with when you left here, you took them to the next church. When trouble comes to our lives, we can do one or three things. We can endure it, we can escape it, or we can enlist it. Well, what do you mean, preacher? If we only endure our trials, then the trials become our master. And if we try to escape our trials, then we will probably miss God's purpose. But if we learn to enlist our trials, then we become our servant. And sometimes people need to know what is right, but they constantly choose to do what is wrong. I say to you this morning, enlist what God has for you. Because if you enlist them, they become your servant. And that's what we've got to be as Christians. Stop serving somebody else. Our service is to the King of Kings. He said he come to serve and not be served. We said we're going to model what he did. And the only way you're going to model what he did, you have to be humble enough to be a person in a waiting area with a towel on your hand. How can I serve you, Deke? How can I serve you, Madam Trustee? How can I serve you, preacher? That's what we call to be. So we have to understand we cannot run from our troubles. That's why when I looked at this text this morning, as I studied this text early in the week, my plan was to do something else. But God says, no. I tell you what to do. You do what I tell you to do. I said, Lord, but I'm already ready. He says, no, you're not ready until I say you're ready. He said, because somebody needs to know that they cannot run from their problems. The next thing I see in the text, we must walk by faith, not by sight. I believe that Amalek did the reverse. He was walking by sight, not by faith. He saw that there was a trouble that was happening in the land where he was. So he left for the wrong reason. He left the house of bread. He left the house, a place of praise, for a wash pot. A wash pot. And we have to understand that we have to still walk by faith and not by sight. See, Abraham made the same mistake when he encountered a famine in his land. Instead of waiting for God to tell him what to do next, he fled to Egypt and got into all kind of trouble. See, no matter how difficult our circumstances may be, the safest and the best place is where? In the will of God. See, Isaiah reminds us, he says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. How do you walk by faith? We walk by faith by proclaiming the promises of God and obeying the word of God. See, in spite of what you see, in spite of how you feel, in spite of what may happen, it means committing ourselves to the Lord and relying wholly on him as we need him. When we live by faith, it glorifies God and it helps build our Christian character. I'm reminded of this personal illustration. One night, a house caught on fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the top of the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outreached arms calling to his son. He said, son, just jump. I'll catch you. He knew that the boy had to jump in order for his life to be saved. All the boy could see was flame and smoke and blackness. His father kept yelling. He said, jump, son, I'll catch you. But the boy insisted. He said, daddy, I can't see you. The father replied, but I can see you, and that's all that matters. And sometimes we have to understand there are times when we have to trust God and jump into his arm, because he said, if you jump, I'll catch you. And that is why it's called a leap of faith. I'm just saying to you, we have to walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says that just shall live by what? Faith. And when we refuse to trust God, we're calling God a liar. We're dishonoring him. A husband wants to provide for his family, but he must not do it at the expense of losing God's blessing. See, when Satan met Jesus in the wilderness, his first temptation was to suggest that Christ, he said, satisfy your hunger. Don't worry about pleasing your father. See, one of the devil's pet lies is you don't have to live. You do have to live. You have to do some things. But the Bible says to us that we live and move and we have our being, and it enables us to take care of ourselves. See, in times of difficulty, if we die to self and put God's will first, we can be sure that he would either take us out of the trouble or he would bring us through. That's what faith is. See, you can't see yourself out of a situation, and that's okay. God already knows what's going to happen while you're in the midst of the situation, because he's God. But we want all the evidence that we can have in order for us to make what I said in the beginning: no one makes right decisions without being free to make wrong ones. And I'm so glad that God doesn't judge us on our wrong decisions. He already knows what's ahead. We can't see it, but he allows us to go through it. It's the sharpening of that situation to help strengthen our faith. Lastly, I see in the text, we have to come back to the Lord. In other words, we have to be okay with going back home. Say, Naomi heard the report that the famine had ended. And when she heard the good news, she decided to return back home. See, there's always bread enough and to spare when you are in the Father's will. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we don't need to continue to live in defeat. Just get up from the place of our failure. Get up from our sins. Get up from our despair. Come back home. Come back to the Lord. Whenever we have disobeyed the Lord and departed from his will, we must confess our sin and return to the place of blessings. I know I'm talking to somebody today. I know you left church a long time ago. I know you felt just like Amalek. You was just going to sojourn. That's what it means. You were just going to do a drive-by, a short visit. But look at what the text says. This was his mindset. And they end up staying in that place for 10 years. Don't think that you're just going to do something intentionally and not allow God to be in the midst. That's why in Isaiah it says, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon you. That's the God that we serve. See, Naomi's decision was right, but her motives were wrong. She was still interested in primarily food. That's why she wanted to go back. The text was clear. She heard that they had food back where she came from. Well, if she remembered anything, because it was called the house of bread, there was always food there. Sometimes the enemy can cause us to leave what God has already blessed us with, because it always looked greener on the other side. She was returning to her homeland, but she was not going back for the Lord. See, our life with God should make others want to come back to the Lord just by looking at our life. That's why some of the people that left your church won't come back, because when they see you out, they say, ain't nothing different about her. Ain't nothing different about him. He's still behaving the same way he was the last time I saw him. But the life of a Christian to mimic that of Christ, they should see a change that has taken place in you. So our walk with the Lord should be something that makes others say, I want some of that. I want to know how in the midst of tragedy, you can still be happy. I want to know how in the midst of one of your loved ones going home that you're still praising God. I want to know how when you got downsides on your job, you can still say, the Lord is my life and my salvation. There should be something different about you. Trouble don't last always. I'm done, but I got to tell you another short story. I'm reminded of a mother who was helping all of her children take off their T-shirts at the end of the day. And when she would lift the shirts over their heads, they would oftentimes struggle. And the children couldn't see anything but the T-shirt was covering their faces. And as a result, they began to struggle. The mother shouted to them, she said, raise your arms, honey. Just raise your arms. But as soon as they raised their arms, they were able to lift their T-shirts over their head. I just stopped by to tell somebody, when you're struggling with things, God is waiting for you to just lift your arms up in a surrender to him. I say, just lift up the T-shirt of trials and tribulation in your life. Just raise your arms. God is there to help you. I want you to know that all the burdens that you're walking with, everything that you're carrying, all you have to do is just raise your arms. God is there. I will ever love you and trust you, he says. See, trouble don't last always. That's why the text says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, God. Thank you, God, for salvation. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, as I surrender myself to you, God. All I have to do is just raise my arms. Trouble don't last always. The hymn writer says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his present daily live. I surrender. I surrender. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Let us pray. Father, we thank you as they play softly. We thank you for the word of God. God, I honestly didn't know how this was going to turn out this morning, because you directed me to do what I'm doing. And I'm just so glad that I trust in you, God, for you to give me the revelation of your word to speak to somebody right now, either on the telephone or watching live. And I pray, God, if they don't know you in the pardon of their sins right now in the name of Jesus, God, I plead the blood of Jesus right now over their lives, God. They can come, whosoever will, let them come. All you have to do is just be willing to trust him. Raise your arms wherever you are and allow the Holy Spirit to reign in your life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for the Church of Redeemer, the platform that's available to anybody and everybody. Everywhere. We thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for life. Is there one? As we sing, as we elevate our voices, is there one? You say, preacher, well, you at the church, I'm at home. And I'm saying right now, wherever you are, you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. All you have to do is confess. Be willing to confess. If you left the church, be willing to come back home. You can't run from your trouble always. You shouldn't want to run. Thank you, God, for this day. All to Jesus, my blessed Savior. Oh, yes. I surrender, God. I surrender. Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
I surrender. All.
Oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you.
I surrender.
Oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, we love you, Jesus. All to you. My blessed. Oh, yes.
I surrender.
Amen. Thank you, church family. Thank you for all that you do. Do we have any other announcements before I give the benediction? Let us look to the Lord.